Bruce Chandler will now share a scripture reading.
All right. Reading from the Gospel of John, 21st chapter, verses 1 through 19. The end of the Gospel, Jesus appears to seven disciples. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We'll go with you. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come, have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And Peter said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. For very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. And when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take it where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, Follow me. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
I thought about calling this meditation Living in Limbo, because I've heard myself saying that a lot lately. I kind of feel like we're in limbo, living in this strange, uncertain, nebulous time. We know when it started, but we have no idea when it's going to end or how it will end, what the end will look like. It feels like we're in this suspended state. And that actually is what limbo means. The word limbo comes from an old church religious notion of a place for the people who don't quite deserve hell but can't make it into heaven. The old idea was like unbaptized babies ended up in limbo. I hope none of us believe in that, a God of love doing that. But limbo is also used in a broader sense, being caught in between two stages, not clear what's coming next, feeling stuck, feeling helpless, unable to get ourselves out of the place we're in. I think we know about limbo. Right now we're feeling a lot of that at times. And reading this passage this week, I got the feeling that that's what Simon Peter and the disciples were feeling in this story. They were in limbo. They had seen the resurrected Jesus a couple of times. He had showed up. So they knew Jesus was alive somewhere. But there was no more following him around as they had done for the last 3 years. He wasn't with them in person. So their old role as disciples who traveled with Jesus was gone. And they didn't know what they were supposed to do next. They wanted to go back to the way the things had been before, back to being with Jesus, but they couldn't because everything had changed. So in this story, we read that they went home. They left Jerusalem and went back to Galilee. And Simon Peter, always the one to say, let's do something, said, I'm going fishing. And the others said they'd go too. He wanted to just go back to who he had been and what he was doing before all this started. We can understand the urge to go back, can't we? Back to the way things used to be, back to what we know and what feels normal. So Simon decided to go fishing. They went back to their boats, back to the Sea of Galilee. But they fished all night and caught nothing. Seems like there wasn't any satisfaction, any sense of accomplishment in going back to fishing. And then early in the morning, as the sun was coming up, Jesus showed up on the lake shore. And he told them, put your net over on the other side of the boat. And when they did, their net came up just overflowing with fish. When this happened, they realized, that's Jesus. It's the Lord. And Simon Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to shore. And the others brought the boat up, dragging the net full of fish. And there on the beach, they found that Jesus had fixed breakfast for them. A fire, fish cooking, bread to eat. Bring some of those fish, he said. So Simon went and got some fish, and they all sat around and ate breakfast. The story captures something of the awe and the awkwardness they were feeling. They didn't dare ask, who are you? Because they knew it was Jesus. But here they are, sitting on the beach, eating breakfast with him, and they don't know what to say. But he gave them the food. He fed them. He knew their hunger, and he met their needs. And then there's this well-known conversation between Jesus and Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Three times Jesus asked, three times Simon answered, yes, you know that I love you. I expect a lot of you, like me, have heard this taught and preached as a story about Simon's chance to be forgiven for the three times that he had denied Jesus. The night before Jesus died, Simon had said, even if everybody else runs away, I will be faithful. But when Jesus was arrested and Simon Peter followed him and was listening outside and someone saw him and said, aren't you one of his disciples? Simon said, no, I'm not, because he was scared. Three times he was asked and three times he said no. And then he heard the rooster crow and remembered that Jesus had said, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. So surely this story is about that. But I think it's about something else as well. This time, I saw and heard something different here. Because I think this year I see Simon and the others trying to get out of the limbo they feel like they're in, trying to go back to the way things were before. And then Jesus showed up. And he challenged them to understand that they were not stuck in limbo. It wasn't limbo. It was what we call liminality. It was a liminal time. Liminal time, liminal space is in between. It's transitional. It's disorienting and confusing. but it means we're on the threshold of something new. We're in a passage from old to something else. Liminal space is the in-between time in rites of passage or rites of initiation, because the old has to be broken down by trials and even by suffering before the new can be discovered. Liminal time is when we find ourselves on the brink of change, with choices to make. Will we let go? Will we move forward? Will we risk what it takes? The disciples had been with him through all those 3 years, and they had been with him in his last days in Jerusalem, his dying, his being raised, and appearing to them. Jesus had been through the most intensely liminal passage we can imagine, from life to death and life again. And now his disciples were at this critical point, and Jesus wanted them to understand, you can't go back. You have to go forward. Take with you what you have learned, what you have experienced, and move forward into what is new, into the new possibility that is here. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. It was what Jesus had said to them and shown them over and over again. Loving God is about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love me, then you must love one another. I think this story right now invites us to understand that where we are is not limbo, but it is liminal time. It's a time of trial, confusing, disorienting, and for some a time of great suffering. But it is also a passage, a threshold that challenges us to see who we are and where we are, and to make choices about how we want to move forward. This time is a pause that creates an opportunity. And we see people responding. People responding, knowing that they need to reach out and care for each other, remembering how important we are to each other. In this time, we must not let ourselves be dragged down or led astray by the negativity and the divisiveness by some of the most prominent voices we hear. That's the old stuff. That's some of what got us here in the first place. As David Brooks wrote in his column this week, pandemics bring out rippers and weavers. Well, we know who the rippers are. We see and hear them every day. But we need to focus on the weavers and join them in their work for good. And there is so much happening right now that is good, that is positive, that is loving. People across the world making masks, those are weavers. People helping hungry people get food, those are weavers. We can see events online, people making efforts, artists, musicians, different speakers, trying to reach out in the ways they can to call us together. People standing on balconies and doorways, singing and applauding healthcare workers and essential service providers. We are being shown in powerful ways what is real, what is essential, and what is not. The Spirit of God is at work in us all, helping to turn our limbo into liminal time. Indian novelist Arundhati Roy wrote an article earlier this month that was published in the Financial Times. She titled it, "A pandemic is a portal." Here's something of what she said. Whatever it is, coronavirus has made the mighty meal and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could. Our minds are still racing back and forth, longing for a return to normality, trying to stitch our future to our past, and refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink the doomsday machine we have built for ourselves. Nothing could be worse than just going back to normality. Historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine their world anew. And this one is no different. This is a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. We can choose to walk through it, dragging the carcasses of our prejudice, hatred, our greed, our data banks and dead ideas, our dead rivers and smoky skies. Or we can walk through lightly, with little luggage, ready to imagine another world and ready to fight for it. We are in a liminal time, an intense passage from what was to the uncertainty of what lies ahead. And we are challenged to see the truth, to see what is dysfunctional and unhealthy and unjust about our society, to claim what is real and what is essential. This time invites us to see and to reflect. What are we learning? What do we need to let go of? What do we want to commit to going forward? Guided by Jesus' teachings, we can live into this liminal time. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, love one another as I have loved you.